We're going to be turning, first of all, to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. And after we look at this verse, we're going to look at several other passages in the New Testament about the subject that we're discussing. Now, that topic is the providence of God. You won't find the expression, the providence of God, in your Bible. Those exact words are not found in the Scriptures. But you do find many examples of the providence of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And you also find many verses that teach this great truth. It is very important, and it is a very fascinating subject, and we're going to talk about it today. Now, before we look at James 5:16, let me again say just a few words about what this means. By the providence of God, we mean God working behind the scenes. We mean that God's hand is involved in the affairs of this life. But He works in such a way that people can't see His hand involved in this life like they could in Bible times when God worked miracles. Now, we go back to that old statement that was made years ago about miracles and providence. Someone once said that a miracle in Bible times was God's hand revealed, but providence is God's hand concealed. So in Bible times, when people saw Jesus healing the sick or raising the dead, they could know that the power of God was at work. There was no other logical and honest explanation. But in providence, we find the hand of God at work, but we're not able as human beings to see exactly what God is doing. Now, the world experiences the effects and the results of divine providence, but we're not able to see God's hand at work in providence like people saw God's hand at work in miracles. Now, it's the power of God either way. You find that miracles were the power of God and providence is the power of God, but the difference is that people could know, people could see the hand of God in miracles, but in providence, we know that God works providentially, not because we see it, but because the Bible tells us that God's providence is at work in the world. Now, in James chapter 5, verse 16, we have a direct statement about prayer and about God answering prayer. So let's look at James 5, verse 16. The first part of it doesn't pertain to our topic today. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. But the last part does. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, notice how he qualifies this prayer. First of all, this is the prayer of a righteous man. Now, that is a Christian in the context here. And he says that the effectual, fervent prayer, the earnest, working prayer of a righteous man, a righteous child of God, what does that prayer do? Well, James says it avails much. That means it works or it produces much. So what we find here then is that the prayers of Christian people are answered by God. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that God does everything that we ask Him. The Bible says if we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. So no, God doesn't grant every request that we make, but God does grant a yes answer to some of the prayers that we pray. And so God does some of the things that we ask Him to do in this life. That's what James 5, verse 16 tells us. Well, if that's true, that must mean, by the very nature of the things that we pray for and that the Bible tells us to pray for, that must mean that the hand of God is at work in this life. So again, folks, just because we don't believe in miracles does not mean that we don't believe that God's hand is at work anymore, because the hand of God definitely is at work, and James 5, verse 16 is proof of that. So the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, there are people who have gone to such an extreme on this topic that they don't believe that God works even providentially today. And I ask you, what could be a more helpless and cold situation for us to be in than that? Imagine being in a situation where we can't pray to God and rely on and trust in the hand of God to help us through this life. Why would we even pray to God, you see, if the hand of God does not work in this world? That would just make our prayers going through the motions. If we thank God for what He has given us, or if we ask God for something in our lives and we ask God to help us in some way, if God is not working in the world, then why on earth would we pray? But the very fact that the Bible tells us to pray, and that this passage says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, all of that proves the providence of God in this life. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, because here we have a statement about angels. Now I know that you're going to find different opinions among people about angels. There are going to be some people that say that angels have spoken to them, that they saw an angel and so forth. Well, what we find is that angels appeared to people and spoke to people directly in Bible times. But we're not living in Bible times. But that does not mean that angels are no longer at work, because they are involved providentially behind the scenes. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, we have a New Testament verse that teaches us that the work of angels is still going on. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. After he's talked about angels in this whole chapter here, and he's shown that Jesus Christ is much better than, and he's much higher than the angels, well, he says in verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Are they not all ministering spirits? Now, who is the they in this passage? Well, that would refer back to verse 13, to the angels. So he's saying, are not all of these angels ministering spirits? So they're spirit beings, first of all. And remember that by the very nature of it, you can't see a spirit with your eyes. You see, when people saw an angel in Bible times, that angel either took on physical form, which they sometimes did, or God allowed people on some rare occasions to actually see those spirit beings. That's what we were talking about in the case of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. God allowed the servant of Elijah to actually see those angelic beings. But in their real nature, in their essence, they're spirit beings, and the physical eye cannot see a spirit. So in that way then, these spirits, these angels then, cannot be seen by the physical eye. But notice that he says that they are ministering spirits. That means that they serve, that they work, that they minister. You say, well, how do they minister? Well, the Bible tells us, especially in this verse, that these angels are ministering spirits sent forth. Sent forth from where and to where? Well, they're sent from heaven to the earth. Why? To minister, that is to serve, to work for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, the heirs of salvation are Christians. So angels in a special way help Christian people. There's absolutely no question about that. Now, that's not the only work that angels do. We saw back in the Old Testament that angels are involved in the governments of men. When nations rise and nations fall, when rulers are taken out of power and rulers are placed in power, oftentimes the Bible shows that the angels of God are at work, and they're involved in a way. They work in a way so that nobody sees an angel flying around. Nobody sees an angel grabbing a ruler by the collar and taking him out of office. But those angels, nonetheless, are actually at work in this life, working behind the scenes. Now again, there's the difference between miracles in the Bible and God's providence today. God is still working in the world today. Angels still work in the world today. The Holy Spirit is still here today. But not like God worked in the first century. Not like God worked in Old Testament times. Because God oftentimes worked in miracles, and those miracles were out front. Providence is behind the scenes, but it's still the power of Almighty God. So if somebody says, well, what about angels today? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels, yes, are at work in the world today. They work behind the scenes, especially for Christians, but also for other reasons. Now again, I ask you, why would anybody want to deny these teachings? Why would anybody want to reject what the Bible says about the providence of God? And yet, I know of several that do. I remember that there's one person, one preacher, who said that God really today is not actively involved in the world. He is more of a sympathetic observer. A sympathetic observer? That means that God is just watching from heaven, and He doesn't really help us. He's just watching, and He feels sorry for us when we get in trouble, and as we cry out to Him, He basically says, well, I can't do anything because I'm just watching. Now, who in the world can believe that God is just some kind of sympathetic observer today when the Bible says that He is actively involved in the world? And again, consider these things that the Bible says that we're to pray for. First of all, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, that we are to pray for our rulers. And we're to pray for those who are our rulers so that we can have peace on earth. Now, if God does not hear and answer prayer, and if the hand of God is not at work in this world, then why does the Bible tell us to pray for rulers? 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Jesus said that we are to pray for laborers in the vineyard. In the work of the Lord, we are to pray that God would give us workers. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Well, if it's completely up to men, and if the hand of God is not at work in this life, and there's nothing that God can do other than what He has already done, then why would we pray that prayer? What would be the sense in praying for helpers and for laborers if the hand of God cannot help us? We're asking God to do something, you see. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, that the Christians were to pray that God would open a door of utterance, that is, a door of opportunity to speak the gospel. Well, if the hand of God is not at work in this life, if whatever will be, and God is not going to intervene, then why would we pray that prayer? Well, Colossians 4, verse 3 implies that God does work in this life. So in these two lessons, we have only scratched the surface in the subject of the providence of God. But in the previous lesson, we found that the hand of God is at work in the governments of this life, and today we have seen that God does hear and answer prayer, and we've also seen that angels are still at work in this life, so how thankful to God we should be for His providence.